broadcasting live from the Regis Business Center and office suites at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I'm your host, Mike Salmon, alongside Stephen Julian, who looks good considering he was up all night. How are you, Stephen?
I'm doing great, and the reason I was up all night was because the Sox won, wicked hot, played well in the park, and we got some lobster and coffee.
Three World Series now in 10 years.
That's right. And if they brought up 1918 one more time last night, I was going to probably vomit.
Jump through the TV.
They had to find some reason to bring up 1918. They hadn't won at home.
Yeah, they're spoiling us now as Red Sox fans.
Imagine Fox going overboard on a story. All right.
Welcome to the program. This is Gwinnett Business Radio. Three wonderful guests joining us in the studio today. From Tech Rentals, we're joined by Don Glass. From Linux Labs and Blue Shift Wireless, Sparrow Marcioni is joining us today. And also this morning, Mark Barlow with Finest Event Rentals Services and Accessories. And we're going to start the show off with Don Glass with Tech Rentals. Good morning, Don. How are you?
Good. Well, I'm doing well, Mike. Thank you. Today's my birthday, by the way.
Happy birthday.
Mike's going to sing. You. That's awesome.
That's okay.
Stephen, we have lots of reasons to celebrate today.
There you go.
And you don't look a day over 35. You look great.
Thank you. 56 today, actually.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Well, Don, Tech Rentals is your company. Tell us about your role there and tell us about your company. What does your company do?
Sure. Fundamentally, we are a production and staging company. Our core business is audiovisual. So we do high-end AV for corporate events. We plan annual meetings for associations. We've been in business since 1985. So next year we'll celebrate, or year after next, we'll celebrate 30 years.
That's great. How did you get in the business? What brought you to this point in your life?
I started out after college in Connecticut working with the World Wrestling Federation, and I did WrestleMania 1, 2, and 3.
Now, you look a little small for a wrestler.
Well, that was why I was in the back office.
So you weren't a wrestler?
No, was not a wrestler.
We just want to make sure that's clear.
Not a wrestler. I planned the events. We booked the arenas throughout the U.S. and Europe. I was there for 6 years and then moved to Atlanta and assumed a similar role at Turner. But I've always been in production and have always liked just the mix of the equipment and the gear and putting it together, working on a finished product, essentially. Yeah.
Obviously, when it comes to production, I mean, you think of wrestling. I mean, it's a stage presentation.
Oh, truly.
It's like a play. I mean, there's the lights, there's the audio, that's all that going on. So you obviously just took a love to that, and then you started your own company. Were there any concerns having your own company now? I mean, now you're responsible for everything.
Well, I'm actually an employee.
Okay.
I'm not one of the owners.
I gave you too much credit.
Oh, that's okay.
It is his birthday. You can give him a little more credit.
Yeah, there you go.
Go ahead.
No. Yes. No, I agree. The technology is changing so fast. Sometimes it's like riding a wave. If I look back 15 years ago, everything was analog. Today everything's digital. And what we're seeing now with some of these new video mapping technologies and blended video, it's just – it makes IMAX and what Disney's doing look outdated. So, what we bring to life in corporate theater today is truly amazing. The video mapping, the 3D, just the ability to project onto any surface, any idea that you have. It's just astonishing.
Don, talk a little bit about the breadth of what Tech Rentals can do. Maybe for a business owner who's thinking, who goes, well, golly, this guy was in WrestleMania. He was at Turner. Boy, I can't afford him. So talk a little bit about maybe for the small business owner what might be available to them that you guys can do, an event that you can do. And then also talk about how big you can get. Talk about the types of events that Tech Rentals can help with and some of the specific things. So I'm just going to let you paint the canvas however you want from small to large.
Well, that's a good point, good question, because truly we offer both ends of the spectrum. We can do basic audiovisual in production, which might involve the videotaping of an event. And it's amazing what you can do with lights, with stage lights. And with the lower budget, you can really bring it to life with lighting, with good audio, basic audiovisual. And it's not that expensive. It depends on how many people, the size of the room. There's variables. Those logistics have to be factored into the equation. So on the low end, we do it. I'd say we do it all. A basic microphones, a PA system, recording a single camera recording up to, on the high end, multiple cameras, switched camera packages, and then blended video systems. That's where you get into a different budget. That's, you know, there's maybe thousands of attendees in a ballroom or a small convention center.
And is one of the expertise that you guys bring the idea that there are certainly people who do production, but a lot of times they do it maybe in their own studio? I would think one of the things you guys do is you go to the event, you go to the production. That's a different animal, isn't it?
That's
there's a
exactly
lot of different
right.
variables.
That's exactly
Talk
right.
a little bit about that, and especially someone like you who kind of comes from the background of doing that.
And that's one of the really interesting and, for me, mystical elements of the audiovisual business. I compare it to, as crazy as it sounds, a sand painting, because a group of guys converge on a ballroom for about 3 days. They load everything in, and then it's completely removed. They're there for 3 days producing a big show, a high-end production with blended video, multiple cameras, a line array speakers, intelligent lighting, and then it's all created and removed in 3 or 4 days. That's our business. There's nothing else like it. It's just really novel and unique in that regard.
Speaking of unique, Don, is there a production, an event that you guys did where it's like, wow, it just kind of blew you away, maybe a story you'd like to pass on that one of your clients that you did?
Well, the fun part is working with a lot of the keynote speakers because, you know, they could have Connie Rice or Bill Clinton and, you know, as a keynote and, you know, just rubbing elbows, micing them up, you know, getting to talk to them, meeting with them. That's always been exciting. But I'd say I like working with the associations because, you know, they tend to have an altruistic theme or mission, like the Humane Society, for instance, is a client. And, you know, they're really dedicated to their purpose. And these are people that they have a higher consciousness for, you know, what they're doing, their purpose in life. And, I think we're all moving toward that. I hope so. I believe that selfishness is endemic in our culture. It's not a bad thing. It's rooted in self-preservation. But I think that we're growing beyond that. And as a human consciousness movement, I think that we'll become less selfish in time. And, you know, thinking in terms of the purposes that benefit everyone.
You mentioned the Humane Society as one of your clients. Who would be an ideal client for Tech Rentals?
Oh, gee, we work with MDA, muscular dystrophy. We've done stuff for we work regularly with the American Cancer Society, American Correctional Association, Aerospace Medical. These are the guys that they're the board of directors. They all have multiple PhDs. They study hyperbolic pressure and G-force on fighter pilots, so they're a client. And American Correctional is the prison wardens, prison guards. So, that's
all over the board.
Yeah, pretty much. On the corporate side, we work with we've done stuff in town for Coca-Cola, UPS, Norfolk Southern. So, you know, we're both ends of the spectrum. We're working with the associations, and also we're heavily embedded in the corporate side, corporate communications, corporate business.
Don, if I was a business owner, if I'm a head of an association, I'm planning an event, how much of a conversation do you want to have with me? How much counseling do you want to give me and what kind of pitfalls are you looking for I'm saying, here's what I want. And you're like, all right, hold on, calm down. Let's make sure, you know, what kind of pitfalls do I need to avoid? And maybe the number one pitfall is find somebody who's got a lot of experience and who kind of has done a lot of these things and listen to their expertise.
Well, I'll say that you, Stephen, answered the question. You asked and answered it because really the answer is within the question. It does begin with clear communication, simple, basic dialogue, explaining what the client wants, understanding it, and then offering pricing. And it's a slow process. I've had clients prospects that I've been courting for years, and they finally come around. And what evolves is a relationship and trust, and then knowledge of the need, knowledge of what the client needs, and then clearly articulating our ability to fulfill that.
And also with your expertise, how do you go about avoiding the jargon and getting clients lost with, because I always think of production and lights and all that kind of stuff, and I would very quickly get lost with jargon in your industry. How do you how do you break that wall of communication or lack of communication where the client's like, I want it to be really bright and sparkly, and you've got to kind of break it down and explain it to them and what they need.
Good point. Sure. You have to explain yourself. You have to tell them what it is. You can't simply say it's a scenic element. It's a psych, or it's their upright truss with socks, or you know.
Right. I'm getting glassy eyed.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know, you can show them a picture and say, you know, point to it and say, this is a scenic, you know, element, and this is uplit, and it, you know, you might want to convey the type of fabric, whether it's some type of lycra, or if it's translucent. They, you know, people understand basic terms. And then before you know it, they're starting to talk the talk. They're starting to say, well, we liked the psych last year again, so let's use that. So as individuals, we're highly adaptive and good question.
Don Glass is our guest here with Tech Rentals, talking about the audio and video expertise that they can lend for your company. Do you have any exciting events coming up that we can look forward to? And maybe to kind of piggyback on that question, are there any public type events that maybe people out there have gone to that were your productions that we may that maybe wowed us?
Well, there's a couple. Today, we're actually loading in the Atlanta Regional Commission's State of the Regions Breakfast. And this is a forward-thinking group. I just really envy the people that work there. They did a plan a few years ago, their 50 Forward program. They looked at different sectors like elderly, transportation, environmental in Atlanta. They projected 50 years ahead of what a vision for what Atlanta could be in 50 years. So that event's tomorrow. That's at Georgia World Congress Center. And we are the in-house audiovisual company at Georgia World Congress Center. It's off on a little bit of a tangent, but Tech Rentals actually has some of the biggest properties in the Southeast now. We're in Cobb Galleria. We're in GICC, Georgia World Congress Center. Gosh, we've got Sheridan, Atlanta. But as far as public events, we do archery trade. That's a fun group. These are guys that are just they're archery enthusiasts. So they come out with crossbows and, you know, everything related to archery, hunting practice, you know, just basic bow tournaments. I mean, we've done so much toy shows and the list is it's unlimited, truly.
Might be easier to ask, you know, what have you not done because you've done so much?
Well, I don't want to sound too grandiose.
You don't want to sound too grandiose, yet you were involved with the first three WrestleManias. Those two statements don't quite make sense.
You have to understand, Don, that Steven and his family, especially his boys, they live, breathe, eat, sleep this WrestleMania
stuff. I'm getting your autograph because if my sons found out that I met you and I didn't get your autograph, they'd probably hurt me.
He's probably got a lot of questions for you to talk about, you know, behind the scenes.
I'm not a celebrity.
I know, you guys
are making me. I appreciate it. I'm grateful. This has been the best birthday I've had so far.
Well, Mike, and I was going to say, anybody who, when you ask, you know, so what kind of things have you done? And he talks about a regional commission of 50 years looking in the future and in archery. I mean, he really gave a great answer. That is quite a spectrum of a very small niche and then somebody that, you know, it's fantastic to be involved with all the different things you guys are involved in.
And you walk into a studio like this and you see a few microphones, you go, oh, this is like simple stuff here. This is nothing. And you're thinking how you can jazz this place up. For those business leaders that are listening and they may have these audiovisual needs or want to put a production together, what's the best way for them to find out more information about Tech Rentals and reach out to you guys?
They can go to our website, techrentals.com, and our phone number is on the website. They can contact me. I'd be happy to help them. It's what we're good at. It's what we really like doing, and I think that makes all the difference. We're invest in it emotionally and financially. So,
all right, yeah. TechRentals.com is the website. Don Glass has been our guest. Don, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, guys. You guys are great.
And once again, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Still don't look a day over 35.
Appreciate it.
We're going to make sure it's a really good day for Don. Joining us now on Gwinnett Business Radio here in the studio, Sparrow Marcioni with Linux Labs and Blue Shift Wireless. Good morning, Sparrow. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
It's not your birthday by any chance, is it?
No, but it's our lead developer's anniversary.
Everybody's got something to celebrate.
You know, yes. In honor of these two great days, I think I'm going to go home tonight and hand out candy to any child that shows up at my door. Just in honor of that. I think I'll do that.
I do that once a year as well.
Let's do it tonight.
These kids will come to your door and they're dressed up. It's really weird.
You know, I'll tell everyone to dress up. Anyway, sorry.
Sparrow Marcioni with Linus Labs and Blue Shift Wireless. Tell us about Linus Labs and Blue Shift Wireless. Are these companies related in some way?
They are related.
Tell us all about them.
Linux Labs is the parent company, well, not technically parent, but it's the initial company that has the long history of doing development on a lot of different levels of software, hardware, various components. But our success came from developing an operating system that's called Nimbus, which runs supercomputers. So we don't get a lot of the general public coming in and asking us to build them a supercomputer. So we got involved in a lot of other applications and development and continued to work in the supercomputing environment. When we work with a client that comes to us and asks us to do a project or develop something for them, we generally retain the technical rights to it afterwards. That gives us the ability to possibly use it for other applications. So when we develop things for other applications, those things go under Blue Shift Wireless, and they're usually wireless-related things. So that's how the two companies kind of interface.
I think, Stephen, the Georgia Tech guys, you're going to ask most of the questions for this interview. I can tell you that right now. But in layman's terms, a company comes to you. What is it they need to do? How do you help a company? What exactly do you do for companies? What are they looking for? What's their pain?
Well, if they're coming to Linux Labs for solutions that are related to cluster computing, they're going to come to us with something that requires a lot of computing power that needs to aggregate computing power or something to that nature. It could be anything from computer rendering or video rendering to crunching numbers for calculating positions of missiles. We've had everything all the way along the line, and that goes... It's the same computers.
Wait a minute. Have you had a company come to you asking you to calculate positions for missiles?
Yeah, our government.
So you got a pretty important job because that's kind of important to make sure they're calculated properly.
I have to ask on that one. That's probably not one that you guys would say, hey, we're going to take this and move it over here. I mean,
no.
Yeah.
No.
Just thinking ahead.
There's a lot of pain involved in working on a project like that. Security, everything else. Right.
So if our government launches a missile and ends up landing in Cleveland, we're coming after you guys then.
Well, we're probably not the ones responsible.
Correct.
Okay. So talk about we cut you off there on the whole
That's
missile
okay.
thing.
Well, the cluster computing and the supercomputing aspect of the company kind of is the foundation where it was built. But we do a lot of development because we specialize in some areas that other companies don't, and we're not a very large company. We're just very specialized. So we got contracted to build... to revise the firmware on Bally gaming slot machines. Okay.
I want to talk
missiles
to you.
And slot machines. This is cool. Keep
you could going. Tell us how to beat those things.
We thought about it. No, there was a whole lot of security involved in that one.
I was going to say, so
maybe
this is
even more than the government.
Yeah.
This
is actually, not a, it was.
I would bet.
Yeah.
This is not a company, Sparrow. Steve and I can just kind of walk through the door and come on in your lab. It's not quite
can
like
you
that.
Help me figure out how to clean out my email box? That's not really what
no,
people are helping you with.
No. We know nothing about email. We hate email.
Here's my follow-up question. You said that one of the things you do is obviously on the very, very high end and the very, very specialized end. You're in the supercomputing and all that. Talk a little bit about a story or two of some of the software that made its way down into the wireless and how it might have gotten into the general – how it might be helping in the general public or in the larger realm.
Okay. We have we've built two projects for Mitsubishi Electric, and one of them was an operating system to run on a tablet that is used for all their field technicians worldwide to be able to do the maintenance on their HVAC systems because they're extremely technical. And so that was one of the projects. The second one was another one that we did for Mitsubishi. They have also databases, and it's related to their service, field service agents too, that we built. And we're hosting that, and we hold the database and maintain all of the software and everything related to that. On a worldwide basis. One of the projects we're working on right now, we haven't finished yet, is a smaller one that we're kind of partnering with the people that have contracted us to build a child safety device that will allow parents with special needs children to be able to keep track of their children securely so that, you know, people cannot hack the device. They can't get, you know, but they can keep track of these special needs children who frequently have anomalies that the current tracking devices can't help with. So that's a GPS-oriented, it's a combination GPS and internet, but I mean it's a smaller project, you know? And that one, I think, will probably get down to the actual consumer level. And we won't be the marketing company, of course, but that's one of the things that we will be doing soon.
So, Sparrow, talk a little bit about how you guys find business, because I would imagine you don't just throw out flyers. Hey, you got a special. I mean, it's probably a lot of word of mouth, and it's probably because of what you guys have been delivering. And also, kind of an unfair question I could ask is, hey, where do you see your company in 5-10 years? Kind of depends on who walks in the door and what they're asking you to do. I mean, so maybe the question, okay, wow, I've gone through a lot of things, and now I'm going to go back to my question. How wide of a breadth do you guys get as far as projects? I mean, you've talked about GPS and special needs children and then HVAC systems. What are there realms you guys can't help people with when it comes to their software?
Windows.
Question. Okay. Anything but Windows. And email. You did say email. So that's another one.
We're a Linux house. We don't do Windows development. But if you think about it, all of these projects have the same commonality. We're still technically doing the same thing. They're just the end results are different. And we have expertise in, like I say, in the firmware areas where we can get into, you know, we can reprogram a board. I mean, we can get, you know, into the micro aspect of the development. So we're still kind of doing the same thing in all of these projects. And then, you know, well, where we get creative is when somebody has us build something like we were asked to build software that could do streaming for a terrestrial radio station, which means it would have to be broadcast quality software to do streaming that would meet the quality and had all of the components needed for a terrestrial radio station to convert to internet. Okay, well, so we built this thing. They used it, and a couple of other companies used it, but then we're like, you know, this could be really cool. We could build our own radio stations. We could do all kinds of really cool things. Yeah, right. You know, we got lots of time for that. It's still sitting. No. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I do have a radio station that has music. It's just music. It's not what you guys do.
Everybody wants to be Business Radio X.
Yeah. Now she's competing with us, Mike.
No, it's just music.
Well, it's good talking to you, Sparrow. I'll have you. What is your role there with the companies? Or companies?
Yeah, both companies. I'm the CEO and president, so I get to figure out how to get all these guys building things to communicate with each other. And when you're working on a really large project, you usually have multiple developers, software developers. These guys never really communicate with each other because it's my project. It's my project. And but they have to all come together and connect. So it's kind of like learning another language.
You mentioned that challenge, but what other challenges do you face being a woman in what's pretty much in the technology, a male-dominated business?
Predominantly.
I go
to a trade show for technology or cluster computing. Other than the booth babes, I'm the only one there, you know?
I did sense slight sarcasm in the laugh when you asked that question, Mike. Wow. And how long have you been? You've been CEO from day one of the company?
Not quite.
Okay.
Not quite, but about 9 years, 8-9 years now.
Started when you were 21. Well done.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Dude, are there the challenges, though? Do you feel like sometimes you got to oversell yourself, but people don't take you as seriously until they get to know you and realize, oh, my goodness, this woman really knows her stuff.
Yeah, it takes a little bit to overcome that because a lot of people in technology, especially the Mitsubishi, it's a Japanese company. Oh, my God. That one was a tough one, you know. And I didn't have the business acumen initially when we went into the project to know how to work with a true Japanese company. I mean, there's some very specific things that you must follow to just be polite. And you don't, we're not trained those things in the United States, how to do that as a general rule. So, yeah, especially when you're working on an international level like that, and everything's approved through Japan, so this isn't just like they're here. I mean,
One of the most exciting things, and we're talking with Sparrow Marcioni with Linux Labs and Blue Shift Wireless, is, as Stephen kind of alluded to earlier, you don't know what's going to walk through the door. You don't know what the next project's going to be. I mean, you've worked on, you know, aligning missiles to slot machines to kids and so forth. So it's been all over the place. So that's got to be exciting. Where do you see and Stephen kind of asked the question, but then backed off and never really asked the question. But where do you see the company going? How do you stay ahead of technology as well?
Well, Linux is probably connected. Its success is connected directly to the intellect of their developers. The more developers we have that have different expertise and intellect, the more directions we can go. And so we're completely reliant on that. That's kind of a you're not going to get really big sort of a thing because it requires everything's one-on-one. All the proposals are customized. You can't boilerplate. You can't standardize anything. So it kind of limits Linux in some regards to the amount of growth it can achieve. Blue Shift, on the other hand, can probably doesn't have the same limitations because they're more on the introduction of products that are specifically designed to be introduced or through distribution channels or whatever. We've got a new product now that is actually a scanner that we developed for a client that's a wireless scanner for networks for medical companies to retain their HIPAA requirements, which is something that's about to be extremely important since those laws all went into play last month. And we think that with the right distribution people, that is probably going to turn Blue Shift into a 10 times the size that it is now. Not sure what the time frame is going to be, but that's kind of where we think Blue Shift is going to go with the scanner.
I might be getting too technical here, forgive me, but this is kind of fascinating with what you've done with Linux and then some of that that's gone down into Blue Shift. With Linux, you're almost waiting for people to come to you and go, hey, I got a puzzle. Can you solve it?
Exactly.
But with Blue Shift...
With that Southern accent.
Yeah,
too.
Just a little bit of that. Yeah, okay. And it's better than my Boston accent. Then with Blue Shift, and you just kind of alluded to this with that one particular product, your job as the company is to go try and find the distributors. It's not, you don't open your doors and go, hey, come on in, consumers, and buy something. You got to find somebody who specifically needs. How do you balance that?
Yeah. That's really difficult. It is because the maintenance on the accounts that are distribution accounts, the upkeep of those accounts, making sure that everybody's happy, is pretty involved. It's a lot more involved than just selling something one time to a customer. So you got to have people that know how to manage those types of relationships.
Well, then let me ask this follow-up question. Who, is, especially for Blue Shift, who are you looking to partner with? Who are you looking to try and bring in and work closely with? And it might depend on what comes down the chute next.
Sure.
But who do you typically find yourself working with and looking to develop relationships with?
We do really well with any security consulting firms, network security, any of the scanning companies, anyone that's doing that sort of thing. Generally, what we develop falls into the realm of tools they can use for their clients. And the scanner is certainly one of those. Yeah, it's called the Medlock scanner. And it, you know, any of the security consulting companies or network security companies can benefit by having it.
It's always amazing, all the companies that we're finding out through this show that are based right here in Gwinnett County and what they do. Sparrow, before we let you go, what advice would you give maybe to that young entrepreneur that wants to get into the technology field, into the technology business? What kind of advice would you give them?
Do a lot of research before you decide which area of technology you want to go in and make sure it's something that you will enjoy doing because it's going to be a lot of work. A lot of work.
Great stuff. We appreciate it very much. For those that want to find out more about your company, is there a website? Where can they go to find out more?
LinuxLabs.com and BlueShiftWireless.com.
BlueShiftWireless.com and the Linux Labs, L-I-N-U-X, L-I-N-U-X, LinuxLabs.com. Sparrow, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sparrow Marcioni with Linux Labs and Blue Shift Wireless here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Our third and final guest, last but not least, from Finest Event Rentals, Services, and Accessories, it is Mark Barlow. Good morning, Mark. Do you have a birthday, anniversary, anything that we should talk about today?
Not in particular. It's probably my dog's third year and second month and fifth day, so I'll celebrate her.
Congratulations. That is awesome. And as part of that celebration, you're going to have young kids dressed in costumes come to your door tonight.
Great.
Just for you. Finest Event Rentals, Services, and Accessories. Mark, tell us about your company. What does your company do?
Well, we basically took a little different approach to the event industry by first evolving into this from being the distribution arm and import of a lot of event products. And so we've been selling to the restaurant, hotel, resort industry. And therefore, when they need things at times, you know, there's a need for not only rentals, but we do a lot of logo glasses for events and sort of set the standard. You know, one taking, 10, 15 years ago, the High Museum from a sort of a basic beaded type rim glass to a sheer rim European crystal glass. And then as that's evolved, working with a number of nonprofits throughout the years, and as well as B2B clients and caterers and anybody that eats or drinks. So it's a real niche market, but be glad to help anybody we can in that category.
What got you into the event rental and restaurant provider industry?
Well, back 30-something years ago, I started working in the business in the restaurant, bar, hotel, country club, resort. One of the places I worked back then made a real impression on the business was at the five-star Duchin Dining Room in the Sun Valley, Idaho resort. And, you know, that level of tableside service and flambé and really, you know, it was just a pinnacle of that industry. And so it evolved throughout the years working in different capacities and also actually worked with a company called Cisco, but not the computer Cisco, but the food and beverage industry company, and which they're food-based mainly. And but then I found my path to working with the non-food side and my passion in the particularly the tabletop wine accessories plateware area, which actually evolved in a unique way. One of the things event-related was I actually host the World Corkscrew Convention. It was here in Atlanta, actually. We did it up at Lake Lanier. And it was quite an event. All the screwy people in the world were here in Atlanta that weekend. So, So it was quite the event. And so actually hosting an event like that, besides working on events, was quite interesting. And but that was an interesting event. Also, very culturally oriented. One of the highlights was this gentleman from Britain. He said, "I really like it here, but there's only one problem: is that you drink your tea cold." So he didn't quite get the idea of Southern tea, but. Anyway, that was interesting with all the cultural aspects of that. People from, you know, a lot of Europeans, obviously, and Canadians and people from all over, even an Australian. So
Mark, with Finest Event Rentals, and it might be easier to ask the question of what don't you rent out for an event, but I'm going to start it with, it sounds a lot, obviously, what everybody kind of thinks of, the standard stuff. What are some of the other things you guys bring to the table that most people wouldn't think of when they think of an event rental service and accessories?
Well, we're very different. We're not, you know, a typical retail showroom, more business to business and strictly by appointment at our facility, which is 15,000-foot facility. But we do specialize in the tabletop, so we have a few tables and chairs, but we do not handle that in tents. That's another category. But when it comes to the china glass silver, but the real strength is the event accessories that would be mostly food and beverage related. But, you know, a lot of people just do the basics and don't really reach out. But because we're also a showroom of event accessories, we can offer people a lot of unique things and then, given the proper time, be able to order them for sale or for rental. So it's another twist to this is I have a unique antique collection involving some of the culinary pieces, not only, you know, corkscrew related and beverage related, but, you know, in the culinary side also. So my showroom has been told is sort of like a toy store for people to come in and be able to, you know, see things they may never have seen and be able to utilize them in their events.
You also mentioned at the beginning logo glass. Talk a little bit more about that. What should somebody be looking for? Is there – that's something I know very little about. So just kind of educate me and our listeners in general.
Sure. You know, a lot of times, especially in the past, you know, 10-plus years ago, you go to an event and you get, you know, the cheapo-type glass. And I always look at it as if you're going to have an event and you're going to put your name on it, you want it to best represent your company. So – we've sort of raised the bar in using nicer stemware for events. And, you know, sometimes it's logoable or sometimes just rental. We did an event recently for 1,600 glasses at the Galleria because the client wanted the glasses brought in instead of using, you know, what they have available on a day-to-day basis. So we can handle events of that size or, obviously, logo glasses in the thousands also.
Who are some of the folks, Mark, that you work with now, and who would you – How would you describe your ideal client?
Well, I think the people we work with, it varies from nonprofits to obviously a lot of private events and social and corporate events. 2 weeks ago, we did an event for TAG, the technology group, at the Summer Hour event facility. That was a great event and really fun people to work with. I think we're, you know, part of half and half, half social and private and half more of the corporate side, where we do a lot of events where there is a rollout of a product, or we have one item that no one else has is a little 4-ounce toasting flute. So we can offer a corporate toast with a smaller, instead of having a big flute and filling it, you know, 2 ounces full that looks bad, we have these little toasting flutes, and they go out regularly for people to have toast, you know, at businesses or openings. It's just sort of a nice little accessory there. Or once again, we can logo it for a takeaway favor.
What is your favorite part of being in the hospitality industry?
Well, it's interesting. I've sort of gone full circle from working in the business, starting, you know, back when in the busboy, waiter, bartender, food and beverage director category. And then through the product side, the rental side has brought me back around to the services side, which is another unique twist of us offering a very high quality services. For a lot of events, we will also serve as the event planner and coordinating the food and beverage component. A lot of times, you know, they sort of strike a deal with the caterer, and nobody really manages the caterer. The caterer is out there, and, you know, who knows what goes on in the back of the house. But we're in the back of the house doing the beverage, or we can do it, you know, if it's a facility that has their own beverage, even without, but being able to assist, you know, watching, making sure the food comes in, the quantities, the portions, the temperatures, just to be that check and balance that is very, very often needed at these events these days.
Mark, obviously, you've done your business well, and there's a maxim to say kind of start by doing a few things well. Do you see Finest Event Rentals, Services, and Accessories expanding into other lines or into other things in the future? And or if not, how can you get even better at what you're currently doing?
Well, in terms of expansion, one would be obviously geography. And being Atlanta-based, I have done events in, you know, surrounding areas. I've been up to Chattanooga and down to Savannah. So that's one area I'd like to have more of a focus, because nobody does what we do. Even in Atlanta, you know, there's a lot of the bigger rental people. They're all on the west side grouped together, and we're actually based in Gwinnett, even though we work all over. But we're trying to consider, you know, the Greenvilles and even the Birminghams and, you know, other surrounding cities that we could expand to. In terms of product lines, I think we don't ever desire to go to the category of the tents and the tables and chairs. It would be nice at times, but we partner with people that do that. But we do focus on having the best in the tabletop category.
You mentioned that you offer a lot of unique things. There's a lot of companies that do what you do, but you are unique in a lot of things you do and a lot of things that you offer. How do you market your business? How do you find those new clients out there? Well, and I would think, too, to on top of that, Mark, is that maybe you might be a little more expensive because of the uniqueness and the things that you bring. So how do you overcome that as well?
Well, in terms of the cost, basically we just approach it from a value standpoint. You can't make things relative when you talk about an event. And sometimes it's a very sad thing that sometimes people undersell themselves and they just want the basics and then they wish they had. So we like to be able to present the nicer, like as example, we're the only one that has a certain crystal water glass, which we've rented out for nicer events when people realize they don't want that chunky, ugly, basic water glass that everybody else has. We're the only one that has actually a crystal dessert glass for dessert wines and a larger burgundy glass in town. So there's a lot of uniqueness in that respect. But you know, I think just really being, you know, back to the events planning side, offering a more of a proper service from start to finish. They realize the value's there versus, you know, somewhere you order online and pick it out and don't have any human contact and any, you know, expertise that we offer in the value-added approach.
So how do you find the new clients? How do you grow that business?
A lot of times they're referred to us, or a lot of our clients are B2B, so the caterers will come to us to handle, you know, the beverage for their events. So we'll either provide the glasses or often the beverage services also. And so it's been growing more by word of mouth, and we're not very visible. It's funny because the website only lists the basics. It doesn't have a lot of the stuff because we try to be very proprietary and not trying to be that splashy. But when you come to the showroom, it's very evident. So that's where it's more personal approach versus the online approach.
So there's a showroom for folks that come in and see a lot of the products that you have for these events. Where would that showroom be located for folks that want to come by and the businesses that want to see it?
The showroom is a building. It's on actually South Old Peachtree Road, which is 4708. It's the long brick building across from Pinckneyville Park with a logoed wine glass on it. And there's no signage. It's commercial development. So you'll see this wine glass on the building, and every once in a while somebody will walk up and say, what's going on in here? And then we'll open the doors to them and let them see that we are a very unique showroom of the wine accessories as well as the tabletop and event accessories as well as the food service equipment side. So we have sort of a lot different avenues under one roof. And we've done some event rentals even for the, the series is shooting here, the originals, they came, but they bought a lot of the stuff and outfitting their Rousseau's Bar, which is, New Orleans 1900s theme, and we were able to, have a lot of unique things for them to create that, set for the show.
So if a company, Mark, wants to get in touch with you and find out more about your company and work with a company that does things the right way and has a lot of experience and very unique, where can they find more information? You mentioned the website. Give the website and any other contact information.
Yeah, the website, www.finesteventrentals.com. As I said, lists more of the basic stuff, and then obviously the email service@finesteventrentals.com would be the easiest way to respond since I'm on the road and traveling some, but love to, since we're a by appointment showroom, love to make contact with people and see how we can help anybody that eats or drinks is our niche.
Mark, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Mark Barlow with Finest Event Rentals Services and Accessories. What a show, Stephen. You learned a little bit, talked a little WWE wrestling, missiles and things like that.
Missiles and corkscrew
conventions.
I just thought that happened every week, twice a week here.
It does.
Yeah.
That's why people.
So apparently there's a convention for you and me, Mike.
Absolutely. Hey, big thank you to our guest this morning, Mark Barlow with Finest Event Rentals, Services, and Accessories, Sparrow Marcioni with Linux Labs and Blue Shift Wireless, and Don Glass with Tech Rentals. A quick reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio can be heard throughout the day on the Gwinnett Business Radio X station, and that you can listen to any of our programs 24/7 by logging on to GwinnettBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioX.com. For Stephen Julian.
Mike, I'm submitting your name to be president of the World Corkscrew Convention.
I will happily accept that.
You should.
I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.